Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. This week I'll be interviewing a woman who launched a business that she can operate from her RV to inspire others to try their hand at quilting. Today's show is sponsored by the Small Business RVer School. This new course from Work Camper is designed specifically for entrepreneurs on the move and helps you build a business you can run anytime from anywhere. The self-directed course helps you be your own boss while reducing stress and saving on taxes. Through a series of online videos and monthly calls, you are taught the steps necessary to build and manage a successful mobile business. Life is too short, so choose what you want to do when you want to do it by starting a small business of your own. For more information, visit www.smallbizrver.com. My grandmother loved to quilt. She made blankets for all her children, grandchildren, and even her great-grandchildren. She inspired my own daughter to follow in her footsteps by creating ornate quilts of her own. People who quilt find it very relaxing, and they have something to show for their efforts. But quilting doesn't have to be as elaborate as queen-size blankets. People can quilt wall decorations, placemats, pillow inserts, table runners, mug rugs, and even greeting cards. The problem for RVers is that quilting can take up a lot of space to store patterns and supplies. That was the dilemma facing Denise Fuller, an RVer originally from Oregon who loved quilting. Her friends and family would rave about the things she quilted, and many people often expressed a desire to do the same thing. But quilting can be a tough hobby to start with a pretty steep learning curve. With everyone stuck inside for COVID last year, Denise saw an opportunity to encourage others to try quilting. So she started a business out of her RV to create kits that people can buy online. Designed specifically for RVers and others who live in confined quarters, the kits come with patterns, batting, and other supplies to complete smaller quilting projects. She even started a Block of the Month Club to create unique quilted blocks that can be decorations by themselves or combined with other blocks to create a larger quilt. Denise also created a special kit in honor of a woman who loved to sew but developed dementia and lost that skill. A portion of the money raised from each of the Wanda's Journey kits that Denise sells is donated to the Alzheimer's Association. She also created a Facebook group just for RVers who enjoy quilting. Denise and her husband Mark had been full-time RVers for 6 years before they bought a summer home in Door County, Wisconsin, on the tip of the peninsula. A retired truck driver, Mark went through training to become a certified RV technician. Today, they split their time between Wisconsin in the summers and Arizona in the winter. To tell us more about their story and her business, please welcome Denise Fuller, the founder of Camp Quilter Kits, to the show. Thanks for joining me today, Denise. I really appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about how long you've been work camping.
Well, we started in 2012, and we were full-time up until 2016, somewhere in there. And then we bought a house, and we're still, even with a house, we spend 6 months there and 6 months on the road.
Okay. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Oregon.
Okay. Pretty country.
Yes.
Okay. Is that where your house is?
No, my house is in Wisconsin, and that is pretty country, too.
It is. I'm a native of Wisconsin. Where is your house?
Oh, up in Ellison Bay in Door County on the tip of the peninsula.
Oh, my goodness. That is gorgeous. I was up there in October for the fall colors and things like that. I was. I just went up there for a couple of days. I had to have a fish boil and go around and look at the beautiful colors. So, yes, it was neat.
Yes.
Very good.
And did you eat something with cherries?
Of course. You get a cherry pie or slice of pie when you finish your fish boil. But the bakery yes. that I really like to visit up there called Pelletier's, it's a farm that's just south of Fish Creek, I believe. They were shut down okay. because of COVID, so I didn't get my full experience in Door County, but I'll go back next summer. I still have relatives that live up there.
Sure. If you're in Fish Creek again, I'm a docent at the Noble House.
Oh, very good. I'll have to look that up.
Right on that corner. Yeah.
Okay, super. So what attracted you guys to work camping or RVing in the first place?
Well, my husband was working as a long-haul driver for Swift, and they had promised him when he started driving that he would have one day home for every week on the road. But they started pressuring him. He would be gone like 4 to 6 weeks, and they would start pressuring him to come back on the third day, and it took him 3 days to get looking normal again, like a human.
Right.
And he was getting tired of that, but he loved the driving. He loved seeing other parts of the country, and I wanted to do that too, so this just seemed like the best of both worlds.
Okay. So you left Oregon? Is that where you were when you first started this venture?
Yes.
Okay. And so then you just you sold the house and you hit the road full time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And traveled around the country for it looks like at least 4 years, maybe five, and then settled
yes.
on splitting your time between Arizona and Wisconsin.
And Oregon.
And Oregon, okay. You still
yeah,
have relatives?
We still
and
have family,
family
there.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
What kinds of work camping jobs have you done over the years?
Well, we started out working on a gun range and in California, up in the mountains. It was beautiful. Then we went to become activity directors in Oklahoma. From there, we were Christmas help at Amazon in Nevada, and then we went to Alaska for the summer, and from there we went to Montana for the sugar beet harvest. And then we went down to Texas and sold Christmas trees, and from there we went up to Wisconsin. This was our first time in Wisconsin, to a campground called Wagon Trail Campground in Ellison Bay, and just loved it. And we had kind of made a promise to ourselves that we weren't going to go back to any one place because we wanted to see the whole country. But our boss kept asking us if we're sure we didn't want to come back next year, and we finally said, yes, we'll come back. So we had a month and a half between that job and the one that we got next doing housekeeping in Florida. And so we traveled. We had already been to all of the states on the west side of the Mississippi, except for Hawaii. So we traveled all over the east side, even went up into Canada, where my ancestral home is, and got to spend a night there. And then we went down to Florida and did the housekeeping. I have to say here, my husband was a little put off of cleaning toilets because of the old men who couldn't quite make it.
That's funny.
And so we went back up to Wisconsin to the campground, and we were doing housekeeping there, and he said, this is the last housekeeping I want to do. He decided that he wanted to be an RV repair person. So he had already taken a class from Terry Cooper on inspections, and Then we went to Louisiana, and he did the training for RV CAC, RV repair. And then we went to Oregon, and he went to Florida and went to an RV tech school where he got his licensing as an RV tech. And then that's when we bought our house in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And ever since then, we've been going from him being an RV repair person up in Door County to, and that's from May through October, to spending November and December in Oregon with family for the holidays, and then coming down to Arizona for him to do RV repair and me to do work at Block Advisors.
Okay. What is Block Advisors?
It's like H&R Block.
Oh, okay. So you're doing taxes for people.
Well, no. I'm the receptionist.
Oh, okay. That's easier.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's easier.
Mm-hmm.
I told them they don't want me as a tax advisor because I can't even balance my checkbook.
I feel your pain. So you're both working, but you're working as a receptionist for H&R Block, and your husband is doing RV tech stuff and inspections down in Arizona.
Yes.
Okay. And you've been doing this for a couple of years now?
This is our fourth year.
Okay.
Being in Arizona.
Okay. Super. It sounds like you've got quite a varied experience as a work camper as well. If you were up in Alaska, were you working at a campground there?
Yes, we were. And it was a campground that had a gas station. So Mark was doing, he was cleaning the laundry room, working the gas station, doing landscaping, and I was working in the office / gift shop.
Okay. Alaska is a very, very pretty state. I mean, there's a Kodak moment around every corner, it seems.
Yes. Yeah. And you should see all of the animals we saw. We saw elk, we saw black bears, we saw brown bears, we saw buffalo, we saw, we went on a trip down to Valdez and took a one-day cruise to one of those glaciers that was calving. In fact, it was the largest calving for that summer that the captain had seen. And on that, we saw at least a couple different kinds of whales. We saw sea otters, sea lions, a bald eagle.
I
can't imagine.
I've actually been on that cruise. In Valdez, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What really impressed me was you'd be tooling around on the water and the icebergs would be floating by, and even the larger chunks of ice, maybe not the big icebergs, but you'd look inside and the snow or the ice was blue. I mean, the deepest blue I had ever seen before. And I guess it's because the sunlight gets trapped in the water that is then frozen is what they were explaining to me. I don't know if that was true or not, but it was still beautiful.
Did they scoop a chunk of ice out of the water and let you hold it?
They did. Mm-hmm. I remember that. That's neat. So up in Alaska, what part of Alaska were you in?
We were in Tok, Alaska, which is the first town you come to once you enter Alaska from the Yukon.
Okay. Okay, so you're in southern Alaska for the most part.
Well, it was eastern. It was kind of midway up.
Okay.
Alaska.
Okay.
But in fact, while we were there, there was a large earthquake down in the southern part of Alaska. My mother called to see if we were okay, and I sent her a map that shows Alaska imposed over the continental state.
Yes.
And I said, I said, we're like somewhere in the Midwest, and the earthquake was down below Texas.
Okay. So you were safe. Yes.
Yeah, we were safe.
Mm-hmm. And you were just up in Alaska for that one summer?
Yes.
Okay.
They wanted us back, but we had a couple of cracked windows, one of which completely shattered on the way back down because the roads were so not...
Right. That's a very common problem when you're going up to Alaska.
Yeah.
In fact, I've talked to RV dealers up there, and they've said that very few people drive up to Alaska without having a windshield broken along the way.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I understand you started a business out of your RV.
Yes. I started it actually last summer because of COVID. My usual job's in Wisconsin. They didn't want me because of the virus. And I had always wanted to start a quilt shop and thought I would do it when I retired. And I thought, well, there's no time like the present. So I started a business where I am making kits specifically for quilters who live at least part-time in their RV.
Okay.
And a lot of the kits, most of my kits, will have a camper applique in them.
And what is that for those of us who are quilting challenged?
So applique is where you sew some sort of a cutout of fabric onto a larger piece of fabric.
Oh, okay.
And you might even sew other things on the piece that you just sewed on. So, for instance, with my campers, it's sort of that classic old-fashioned camper cut. And then I have a fabric that I use for the tire, and one for the hubcap, and one for the fender that goes over the wheel.
Okay, yep.
One for the door, one for a window in the door, and another window off to the side. So you sew down the camper, and then you sew all of these pieces onto that, and that's called applique.
Okay. And so you sell this kit, so it's got all the thread that somebody would need, as well as patches of cloth that they would sew together to create a quilt.
Well, the threads I sell separately, but they're very reasonably priced. And the things that I do include are things like batting or heat and bond, which is something that you can use to sort of hold things down while you're sewing them. It fuses the two fabrics together.
Okay.
So I include all the things a person would need in the kit, and then I also sell thread on the side if they don't have thread. When I was developing my business, I realized, because I'm I've been a quilter, and I know the kinds of challenges that quilters in RVs have. For instance, lack of space.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Either for sewing or for putting things up on the wall or whatever. So my kits are mostly small kits. They aren't always wall hangings. I've got things like placemats. I just recently did some Valentine cards that are quilted onto the cards. I've done mug rugs and table runners and all kinds of things like that.
Okay, so you would basically just package everything somebody is going to need to develop a quilt of their own. You provide the pattern, you provide the material, the batting, and the thread if necessary, and ship it off to people wherever they're at, and then they can build a quilt with some sort of help, with some kind of direction. That's really neat. What do your kits sell for?
Let me look at my site here to give you some examples. I also do seasonal things.
Now, are these designs that you yourself have developed or that you've picked up from other people and have just assembled them into a kit?
I did have one collaborator who made a couple of the designs for me, but most of these are things that I've done.
Okay.
Table runner kit for $21.62. I've got a pillow kit for $12.87. I've got a cute little banner that says, I heart my camper for
$9.99.
The mug rugs, those are $8.50. The Valentine card kit was $9.99. They're all within a reasonable price range.
I would think so. And that includes the material?
Yes.
And do you can ship and anywhere. Do you ship it via like UPS or... the post office?
Basically the post office, but I do use Priority Mail, which is insured and trackable.
Okay. Good to note. And I understand that you have done something special with the profits you're earning off of this business and that you're supporting a charity that is near and dear to your heart. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. I have a friend in Sturgeon Bay, which is about an hour south of Ellison Bay, and she had a friend who used to be an avid sewer and crafter, and then she developed dementia and couldn't remember how to sew, and she and her husband decided it was time to get rid of some of her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend took me to her friend's house. And I came home with bins and garbage bags full of fabric and other things. And among the things that I brought home were about 100 T-shirt pictures. Not the T-shirts themselves, but she had cut the pictures out. And I sorted through them, and I thought, you know, I could make a Block of the Month kit. I've never heard of anyone doing a T-shirt Block of the Month kit, but I thought that would be something unique. So what I'm doing is I've put together various designs, one for each month of this year, and I am putting in one of my camper appliques, and then the idea is that you create your own scene around the picture and incorporate the camper in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I send you the T-shirt picture and the camper, and then you do the rest.
Okay.
And that costs $12, and because I got this from a woman who had developed dementia, I decided that I would give half the proceeds from the sale of this kit, which I call Wanda's Journey because her name was Wanda, to the Alzheimer's Association. So I contacted them and I asked them what venue they might have for me to do this kind of thing. And just last Monday, I got a video chat with somebody from the Alzheimer's Association. They have a program called The Longest Day, the idea being that it's the summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year, and they're trying to bring Alzheimer's patients out of the dark into the light. And so what they do is people all over the country come up with some sort of a fundraising project they're going to do on the longest day and donate the proceeds to the Alzheimer's Association. But as she got to talking with me and I told her that I had this block of the month kit, she said, well, you could do it all year round. And I said, oh, that would be great. I'm already over a tenth of the way to my goal of $1,600.
That you're raising? That's very good.
Yeah. Huh. And you don't have to buy one of my kits to donate either. You can go on my page and just donate.
Okay.
So I'm very excited about this.
Mm-hmm. Very good. How many kits have you sold so far?
Well, it's just starting. I've sold okay. one.
Okay.
I just sent it out today.
Okay.
But my Block of the Month kits are on my website, which is www.denisefuller.com. And I also have a Facebook page. One of the things I thought would be cool would be if somebody bought one of these kits and made their own scene around it. And then on my Facebook page, which is at denise.m.h.fuller, I have a group called the Quilters Campfire. And that's where people can share pictures and talk about quilting. And I thought it would be neat if people who bought my block of the month could put pictures up of what they did with it.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. Super. And that's available at your personal website, which is denisefuller.com?
Correct.
You also have a website for the Camp Quilter Kits as well, and that's campquilterkits.com.
That, yes.
Yes.
Actually, I'm sorry, that is the one that I use for my business. The other one is my personal one.
Okay.
But, and my personal one I use to blog about our adventures on the road.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, yes, my business one, I'm sorry, is campquilterkit.com.
Very good. We'll be sure to link to that in the podcast notes. Have you have you folks ever faced any challenges while you've been out RVing and work camping?
Yeah.
It's part of the adventure, isn't it?
Yes. When we were working the sugar beet harvest, the pilers they had there. So let me explain the process. A truck will come in from a field where they've grown sugar beets. It'll be full of sugar beets. They come in, they weigh the truck with it full. They come up to a conveyor belt and drop the sugar beets, and the conveyor belt takes them up on a piler, and as it jiggles on the conveyor belt, the mud falls off, and the piler has a boom that goes back and forth and creates a 20-foot high pile of sugar beets.
That's tall. And that's two stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so my husband and I were working with the piler. We were on one side of it, and this huge tractor, trailer, truck, whatever it is, came in. The really big ones have conveyor belts on the bottom of them so that they can move the stuff out if it doesn't fall out. So he had just cleared all of the beets off, and we were watching the dirt go back into his truck, because afterwards they weigh his truck with the dirt and no beets, and the difference is what he brought in sugar beets.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the pilers in that field were from the 1930s, and they had been making repairs to them all these years. Well, we were standing there watching the mud come out onto his truck, and behind me I heard an odd noise, and I turned around, and the boom was falling, and the beets were falling all over the place. And when I say sugar beets, they aren't the size of these nice little red beets that we eat. These things are huge.
Right.
They can really hurt if they hit you.
They're bigger than softballs.
Yes. The truck driver opened up his truck door and said, "Wow." And we were trying to get over next to his truck, hoping he would pull out because we were afraid we were going to get buried in sugar beets. That was an interesting experience. We thought we had bit it.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. So there are, they make for great stories in a blog, by the way.
I can imagine. And you've done all of this on your personal blog as well, talking about the places that you've worked and the things you've been doing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's a little bit more mundane now since we have sort of a set circuit that we do.
A routine. That's right. Yes.
And yeah.
Yeah. You can't talk about a lot to do in Tucson when you've been there for the third time in 3 years, right?
Right.
I can
We have been to every state on the continent. The only state we haven't been to now is Hawaii, and we're hoping to do that when we retire. We've also been to several of the provinces in Canada. We've seen four of the five Great Lakes. So we've had quite a few adventures.
Are there still things on your bucket list you hope to accomplish?
Well, seeing Hawaii.
Right.
And yes. Also I'd like to see the fifth Great Lake, which is Lake Superior.
Okay.
And which seems odd because...
You're only a couple miles away from there. Yes.
It's up north of us, north of Wisconsin, and you would think we could get there, but we haven't made it yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe something for this summer, that's for sure. Any other fun places you would like to visit or any other fun memories that you've had?
We stayed, it was in South Carolina, I think. It was like we were in a jungle and we were right on the coast, and they told us we couldn't have any lights showing because the turtles were, mm-hmm. were on the beach. That was fun.
Did you see the turtles as they were emerging and going into the ocean?
No, we didn't. It was dark.
Okay.
We weren't allowed to use flashlights or anything, so mm-hmm. we couldn't see it. But we knew what was going on out there. One other adventure that we had was we were in the state of New York, and we were heading towards New Jersey. And we were trying to avoid New York City, but somehow our GPS led us into Chinatown with a 35-foot RV pulling a pickup truck.
Okay.
And it wanted to take us down into the tunnel, and you can't do that with propane on board.
Right.
And so we kept turning around, and it kept trying to direct us back there. And finally, I got out our road atlas. And imagine, there's all these pedestrians and cars and things around. and with the length of our whole setup, my husband was just sweating it. And finally, when I took out the road atlas, I said, "Okay, I think if we turn here and there, we can get to the bridge." We finally did, and we got over to the other side, and as soon as he could stop, he got out, and he walked around the whole RV and the pickup truck and said, "I've got bragging rights, not a scratch."
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to be driving an RV in New York City. It's just not an RV-friendly community to visit in an RV, especially one that is 35 feet long.
Right, and pulling a pickup truck.
What kind of RV did you folks settle on? What do you use?
We're in the 2005 Georgie Boy Pursuit. And I believe that has gone out of business now.
That's right. It's officially an antique.
Yes.
Why did you select a motorhome over a fifth wheel?
Well, because if we had gotten a fifth wheel, we would have had to get a bigger truck. And it was less expensive to put a hitch on the front of the truck and pull it behind the motorhome instead of getting a great big pickup truck to pull a fifth wheel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fair enough. So is there any advice that you would give to people who are considering becoming work campers?
My main advice would probably be have some other source of income. You don't get rich being a work camper. But a lot of the places that you go will offer campsites. The first place we went even offered propane. We didn't have to buy propane or pay for our site or anything. So that was nice.
That is a nice perk.
Yeah. Another thing I would say is that the people who hire work campers need somebody to help them. They're not there to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be flexible in what you're willing to do and consider it all new experience.
Okay.
The great thing is, if you don't like a job, you're only there for a few months and you move on anyway. So
mm-hmm.
It's not like having a regular full-time job that you hate and
can't
get out of.
Exactly, because you're stuck there because you own a house and you can't sell the house and move quickly to a different job. Yes, I understand. That is a perk of work camping.
Yes.
Yeah. Super. Any other advice?
I think I no longer know what it's like in a campground, but when you're work camping, we have a German Shepherd, and that has prevented us from getting into any RV parks because their insurance won't cover that.
Oh, that's very good to note.
Yeah.
Okay, because of the German Shepherd is too big, or it's just on one of those restricted breeds?
It's one of those breeds like pit bulls and Rottweilers that people think are vicious.
Okay.
And so insurance companies won't cover campgrounds if they allow those kinds of breeds in.
That's why it's very important that you communicate that to your potential employer before you arrive, because it would be really unfortunate if you drove cross country to take a job and got there and found out that your dog couldn't come in with you.
Right.
Very good. So, well, this has been informative, Denise. I really appreciate the stories and the advice, as well as the information about your quilter kits. Sounds really exciting, and I wish you the best of luck in 2021.
Thank you.
I appreciate Denise Fuller taking time to talk to us about her RVing experiences with her husband, Mark, and her new business selling camping-related quilting kits to help others enjoy the creative hobby. The Fullers were full-time RVers for 6 years and have had multiple work camping jobs along their journey. They harvested sugar beets, sold Christmas trees, served as activities directors for an RV park in Oklahoma, pack boxes for Amazon in Nevada, and work at various campgrounds from Alaska to Florida. The Fullers loved the natural beauty of Alaska and recalled seeing a lot of wild animals and watching glaciers calve, which is a very memorable experience all in itself. Even though the Fullers spend their summers in beautiful Door County, Wisconsin, they still RV 6 months a year. They spend much of their winter time in Arizona, where Denise works as a receptionist for H&R Block during their busy tax season. And regardless of whether they're in Wisconsin or in Arizona or wherever they might be, Mark makes his money by helping other RVers by fixing the problems that they have. They've enjoyed some interesting challenges on their journey, like getting lost in New York City while towing a 35-foot RV through the streets of Chinatown and almost being buried in an avalanche of sugar beets. They also learned the hard way that it's important to tell employers that they're traveling with a German Shepherd because some campgrounds restrict those dog breeds. Despite all the places they have visited so far, and the fact they've been to every state except Hawaii, the Fullers still have things on their bucket list of places to visit, like Lake Superior. Denise created a personal blog about her experiences over the years that people can find at www.denisefuller.com. People who are interested in launching or enhancing a quilting hobby can check out many different quilting kits that Denise sells at www.campquilterkits.com. Today's episode is sponsored by WorkCamper News. With its diamond and platinum membership tools, WorkCamper News is much more than just a job listing website. When you put the tools of this professional service into action, you'll find out just how easy it can be to turn your work camping dreams into reality. The one-year memberships open a door to a one-stop shop for all things work camping. Being the original resource for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings, be able to connect with the community of work campers, and view resources compiled by experts who've been enjoying the RV lifestyle for many years. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, a diamond or platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a free 30-day trial by visiting www.workcamper.com/trial. Embark on a new adventure today with the support of WorkCamper News behind you. That's all I have for today's show. Next week, I will interview a couple who shares a heartwarming story about how they jumped into the RV lifestyle just to give their three-legged dog the adventure of his life. They'll inspire us to be more dog. I'll have that interview for you on the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Thank you for listening.